I just wanted to take a moment, first of all, to thank Rav Schachter for agreeing to give a shiur to the women of the graduate program, and to thank the Rosh Yeshiva in general for their guidance, and particularly over the course of the year, Mirat Hashem, we're going to hear from other Rosh Yeshiva also, words of Torah, and I think it's important that we find ways to make sure that the women of the graduate program have the opportunity to hear Torah from the Rosh Yeshiva, not only because the Torah that they say is so important, but it's important to recognize the central Torah personalities of our yeshiva and for us to be able to benefit from their wisdom. Rebbe, thank you.
Thank you. We apologize for coming late, but there was traffic was terrible. The Gemara once in a while will quote Targum Onkelis. One of those rare Gemaras is in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara quotes the pasuk Yom Truah Tiyalachem. Rosh Hashanah is a day when we blow shofar. And the Gemara quotes the Targum Onkelis and the Targumin and Yom Yabava. What does the word Yabava mean in Aramaic? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Shoftim, from Shiraz Devairo, that when Sisra didn't come back from the war, so that his mother was nervous and crying, what happened to her son, and they were trying to calm her down. The end of the story was her son was killed by Yoel Eshes Chever Akeni. So the pasuk uses the verb, Eim Sisra Vati Abev, she was sobbing when she was looking out the window. So the word Le Abev means to cry. So the Gemara says, on Rosh Hashanah we have to blow shofar, the trua has to be in such a way that it should sound like a crying sound or a sobbing sound. So you have to, the Morgans are from Sukkim, you have to blow Tkiyah, Truah, Tkiyah three times. And there's a Machloikas HaTanaim, that's a simple reading of the Gemara. There's a dispute among the Tanaim, what crying sound is it supposed to sound like? Is it supposed to sound like a Truah, tu 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 tu, or that like the Svarim do, or it's supposed to sound like what we call the Shvarim, or it's supposed to sound like Shvarim Truah? So the Gemara says, Rabba Bo, who lived in the days of the Amoraim, he lived in the city of Kesarin in Eretz Yisrael, he made a takana that you should blow all the possibilities, so you blow Tkiyah, Truah, Tkiyah three times, Tkiyah, Shvarim, Tkiyah three times, and Tkiyah, Shvarim, Truah three times. Fine. What is this all about? That the sound of the shofar has to sound like crying? So everything I'm going to say is going to be from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik used to give shiurim in the yeshiva, on whatever Gemara we were learning, but before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, before Pesach, before Chanukah, he would always take out a day or two more to discuss the halachos of the Yom Tov. So one of the recurrent themes that he would mention before Rosh Hashanah would be this, that the Gemara in Bav Metzia quotes a pasuk from Megillah Secha, where the Navi says, Yirmiyahu Navi writes, that kam ki ezak vashaveya, even when I daven after the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, sosam tfilosi, the prayers are not accepted the way they used to be bizman she Beis Hamikdash al yikayim. So the Gemara says, yom shechar Beis Hamikdash ninalu shari tfila, the gates of tfila are locked, because the Beis Hamikdash is not only the makam akrobas akabonus, the Navi says ki beisit tfila yikari l'chalamim. Shlomo HaMelech completed building the first Beis Hamikdash, so he said the long tefillah. So he said the main purpose, he didn't mention about Karbon, he said the main purpose of the Beis Hamikdash is the Jews and non-Jews and people should come to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there'll be a famine, or there'll be war, or there'll be machlekes between different people. People should come, nations should come to daven in Beis Hamikdash. So since the Beis Hamikdash is the office of the tefillahs, Shlomo HaMelech says in his prayer that he recited when the Beis Hamikdash was completed, when the construction of Beis HaMikdash was completed, he said everyone should daven facing the Beis HaMikdash. We daven facing Mizrach because you have to face the Beis HaMikdash, and if you're in Eretz Yisrael you have to face Yerushalayim. If you're in Yerushalayim you have to face the Makam HaMikdash when you daven, because the Beis HaMikdash is the official location for receiving prayers. So Miyom Shenechra Beis HaMikdash Nin Alu Shari Tfila, the gates of Tfila are closed, the prayers are not answered to the same extent that used to be Zman Shei Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim. Then the Gemara continues that even though Shari Tfilos were Ninalu, Shari Demois lo Ninalu. If a person davens with such sincerity and such seriousness that he's brought to tears in the middle of the prayer, so that's a higher level of a tefillah. So those prayers will be accepted. Those don't have to go through the Beis HaMikdash. That goes a different route. Those prayers are accepted to the same extent as Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash. So the pshat in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah seems to be that the purpose of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is that it enhances the tefillah. Sometimes a person doesn't know what to say. The Gemara has a text of a tefillah. We say it in the tefillahs on the piyutim. Tzorchei amcha merubim. The needs of the Jewish people are so many. We don't have enough sechel to say what we need. A lot of times a person prays, a boy is chalashing to marry a certain girl and he prays for Baruch Shalom, he should only land the shidduch, he wants to marry that girl. That's the worst thing for him. He's going to marry that girl, she's going to ruin him. A person is praying, he wants to get accepted to this graduate school. That'll be the worst thing for him. So a lot of times people pray for the wrong thing. So we sometimes pray to the Baruch Shalom without specifying what shidduch we want and what job we want and what graduate school we want to get accepted to. So Leitchik used to say, how many prayers did he offer in Europe that he shouldn't have to come to America? America was the trade for Medina. He said if his prayers would have been answered, would have been killed by the Nazis like everybody else. He said in Shmak Aleinu, the end of Shmak Aleinu, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabla V'Rachamim V'Rotzen Es Tefillah, saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our prayers with Rachman. You shouldn't accept all the prayers. Some of the prayers are detrimental to us. Some of the things we ask for are not what we really need. So the blowing of the shofar is a form of a prayer. That's what Tosis points out, but it's clear from the Gemara like that. It's a form of prayer. It's a prayer without words. And it should sound like crying, because that's the higher level of tefillah. Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is probably a biblical obligation according to all opinions. The Rambam's opinion is that there's an obligation to daven min HaTorah once a day, every day. The Gemara says on the first daf in Maseches Tainis, come in, come the posik in Kriyashma, uli avda b'chol avav. How does one do avodah shebelev? Avodah means you do mitzvahs. What do you mean, avda b'chol avav? The Gemara says, avodah shebelev is tefillah. So the Rambam understands that it's really a biblical obligation to daven once a day, every day. Even though the Gemara says in so many different places that tefillah is only midirabbanon, so the Rambam says that means the fact that you daven three times a day, and on Shabbos you daven four times a day, and on Yom Kippur you daven five times a day, you add Ne'ilah, that's midirabbanon, the extra tefillah. So the text of the tefillah is midirabbanon, but in principle, if you have to daven once a day, every day, according to the Rambam, is a mitzvah min HaTorah. This is the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, and in the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well. Rambam lists off in his opinion are the 613 mitzvahs. So this is one of the first mitzvahs I say that he counts. The Ramban disagrees, but the Rambam, but he says that tefillah be'ez tzara, he agrees. Whenever there's a major famine, there's a major problem, so tefillah be'ez tzara is the rice. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Rishonim say, is certainly an ez tzara, it's the Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, Yom Kippur is the Gemara of the Din. So then the tefillah is certainly minatur. So the purpose of the Tkiyah Shofar is it's a form of tefillah without any words. we blow shofar at the conclusion in the Chazaras HaShatz. The Mishnah says we blow shofar at the conclusion of the Chazan's reciting of the bracha of Malchus, Zachronis, and Shofar. So the Ramban writes in Rosh Hashanah, Ramban has a commentary on the bottom of the page of the Rif that's called Mechemes Hashem. Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi has Hasogas on the Rif. He disagrees every so often with the Rif. And the Ramban comes to defend the Rif. The Mola Hasogas, that's called the Mechemes Hashem. The Ramban quotes this Mishnah in Tainis that when there would be a Tainis Tzibur, the Chazan would repeat the Chazaras HaShatz. Instead of just saying the 18 brachas that would normally recite it in the Shmon Esrei, he would add another 6 brachas, adding up to some total of 24 brachas. And at the conclusion of each one of those 6 additional brachas that he would add in the Chazaras HaShatz, they would blow shofar. And the Mishnah has a machlokes Hatanaim, what is the more correct way of blowing shofar? At the conclusion of the first of the 6 brachas, they should blow tkiya. At the conclusion of the second bracha, they should blow shvarim, bracha trua. At the conclusion of the third bracha, they should blow again tkiya. Or no, they should blow tkiya, trua tkiya, at the conclusion of each of the 6 brachas. That's a detailed machlokes, but they would blow tkiya shofar at the conclusion of each one of those 6 brachas that were added in the Shemana Esrei. So Ramban writes that our practice, which is described by the Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that we blow shofar after Malchus and after Zechonis and after shofars, is parallel to the idea that appears in the Mishnah in Tainus, that they will blow tkiya shofar at the conclusion of the six additional brachas that the Shliach Tzibur would recite on Tanis Sibur in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. And the Ramban explains that the purpose of the tkiyas at the conclusion of the brachas is to enhance the tefillah, to elevate. He doesn't explain this, that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained, but using the Gemara in Bava Metzia, to elevate the level of the tefillah, and instead of being a plain tefillah, should be a tefillah that has a level of demois, tefillah sheyesh imo demois. And even though shari tefillah ninalu, but shari demois loy ninalu. So it's interesting. Rav Soloveitchik also pointed out the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis mentions that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was a body that consisted of 120 Chachamim, and amongst them were Kama Neviim, and they were the ones who composed all the brachas and Kiddush and Abdullah and all of the tefillahs. We have piyutim and tefillahs that were added on over the centuries later, but the main text of the tefillahs was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So it's interesting that the Gemara throws in the fact of Bohem Kama Neviim, that Reb Chaim Volozhin points out in Nefesh HaChaim, if not for the fact that there were Neviim amongst them, they wouldn't be able to compose a proper tefillah. To know what to ask for and to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to start off with Shevach and end off with Bakosha. In the middle is Bakosha and the end is Hoidoya. So to know how to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not so easy. To know what to ask was not so easy, so they needed guidance from the Bohem Kama Neviim, the Neviim. So there is a Gemara in Brachas on Daf Chav Tes, where the Gemara says, where is the Mokar in Tanakh that you have a right to compose a tefillah which has 18 units? That's the Shmoneh Esrei. Then the Gemara said, where is the Mokar you have a right to compose a tefillah with 19 units when they added another bracha to the Shmoneh Esrei? Then the Gemara says, on Shabbos and Yom Tov we recite the Shmoneh Esrei, we say the first three brachas, the last three brachas, in the middle you only say one bracha, that's the bracha on the Kedushas Hayayim. So where is the resource in Tanakh, in Novi, that you have a right to compose a tefillah that has seven parts? On Rosh Hashanah we recite the Musaf has nine brachas, so where is the resource? The Gemara quote the source for each one, the source for 18 parts, 19, the source for 20, 24 parts, the Tanis Tibur, the Chazan adds on six brachas into the Shmoneh Esrei, so that is some total of 24 brachas. So the Gemara gives a marker for a tefillah that has 24 parts. And then Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara gives the marker from tefillah schana. She didn't have any children, and then she was blessed with a baby. So tefillah schana has nine times Shem Hashem is mentioned. So that's the source that you have the right to compose a tefillah with nine units. What do they have to quote sources from Navi that you have a right to compose such a tefillah? So that's where Rav Soloveitchik added on to what Rav Chaim Volozhin has said. The Brisa in Megillah said that the 120 Chachamim and amongst them Kama Neviim were the ones who composed all the tefillahs. So they had to have a source in the Neviim. They had to have a source Alpi Nevuah that such a thing is proper. They have a right to compose a tefillah with nine parts, with seven units, with 24 units, with 18 units. Morehead feels compelled to quote a source for that. Now, Soloveitchik was fond of explaining. The Mishnah in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a machlokes hatanoim. How do we arrange the brachas on Rosh Hashanah? What's the issue? We really should recite 10 brachas on Rosh Hashanah in the Musaf. We should really recite the first three brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei and the last three brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei. Then on every Shabbos and Yom have one bracha in the middle. That's the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. So that should end off in Kadesh Yisrael v'Yom HaZikaron. Like on Rosh Chodesh in Musaf, we say in Kadesh Yisrael Rosh Chodoshim or on Yom Kippur and Kadesh Yisrael Yom Kippur, and then you have to have Malchus and Zechonis and Shofaris. So you should have the first three, the last three, another bracha Kedushas Hayayim, and then another three brachas, Malchus, Zechonis and Shofaris. So three, three, and three, and one is 10. But they had no mocker in Tanakh that you have a right to compose a tefillah with 10 units. The only mocker they had was tefillah schana. We mentioned that in one of the piyutim on Rosh Hashanah, that the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is patterned after Tfilas Chana that has nine units. So the Tanaim all working on the premise that you have to combine two brachas together that only end off with a sum total of nine brachas. So the Tanaim had a machlek is which two brachas should you combine together. So Rechem Ben Nuri was a Tana. Rechem Ben Nuri was of the opinion that you should combine Malchias together with Kedushas Hashem, Ata Kadosh, Shimko Kadosh. He said, Melech HaKadosh, the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchias. So he changed the Nusach, instead of saying HaKel HaKadosh, he said, Melech HaKadosh. since you're talking about HaMelech HaKadosh anyway, so put in all the Pesukim HaMalchias, combine it together with the Bracha HaTok HaKadosh, and conclude with HaMelech HaKadosh. Then the fourth bracha would be, we don't follow that. The fourth bracha would be Mekaresh Yisrael V'Yamazikaron, like on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh. The fourth bracha on the Shmon Esrei. The first bracha after the first three is the bracha on the Kedushas Hayom. And then the fifth and the sixth brachas will be Zechonis and Shofis. So you don't have all three together, Malchus Chonis, you have Malchus together with Atok Kadosh. Then you have the next, Zechonis and Shofis is after, and in between Malchus. Zechonis and Shofis, you have the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. Then Rabbi Chaimenuri adds on also that when do you blow Shofar? We blow Shofar three times after. We blow after Malchus, after Zechonis, and after Shofis. So he doesn't agree with that. He thinks that you only blow Shofar after Kedushas Hayom, after Zechonis, and after Shofis. That's Rabbi Chaimenuri's opinion. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Chaimenuri. That's the common practice in Dulak Rabbi Akiva, that the first three brachas of the Shmon Esrei, we don't change. They're the same as all year long. And then we have the three brachas in the middle, Malchus, Zechonis, and Shofis, and we combine Kedushas Hayom with Malchus. Those two are combined. What's the connection? Because the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, HaMelech HaKadosh. We are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became a Melech when he created Adam HaRishon. And we say that B'tishrei Nivra HaOlam Hayom HaRasodom, today is the birthday of the world. It means that it's the sixth day of creation. The first 5 days of creation were the last 5 days in Chodesh Elul. And then the sixth day of creation was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon. That was on Friday, on Rosh Hashanah. Today, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. So the Kabbalah is fine, right? Because we live in an imperfect world. That's not a chiddush, everybody knows an imperfect world. In a perfect world, Rosh Hashanah would always fall out on a Friday. That's what it was, the first Rosh Hashanah in the history of the world. So everything before Adam HaRishon was created was prehistoric. There was nobody there to notice anything. The day Adam HaRishon was created, that's when all of human history begins. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the Melech. If there are no human beings, he's not a Melech. So the theme of Malchus is on the sixth day of creation when Adam HaRishon was created. And now everything before is prehistoric. So that's why we combine together the Kedushas Hayayim with the Malchus, because the theme of Rosh Hashanah is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created a human being and now he's the Melech. And so we said, Adon Olam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzinu Kol Yitzinu Kol Yitzinu Kol Yitzinu Kol Azai Melech Shemon Ikro. He became a Melech after he created the world. Before the world was created, he can't be considered a Melech. Ein Melech B'lo Yom. There are no people, so he's not called a Melech. So after he created Adam HaRishon, he became a Melech. So that's the emphasis on Rosh Hashanah, is on the theme of Malchus. So that's what Rabbi Akiva says. That's our practice. We combine together the Brachas of Malchus with the Kedusha Yom, because that's the theme of the Kedusha Yom is Malchus. So Rabbi Akiva says you recite Malchus when the Shofis, and you blow Shofis after Malchus, after Zechonis, and after Shofis. Then the Gemara quotes a third opinion in a Braisa. The Mishnah only quotes Rabbi Chaimenuri and Rabbi Akiva. And the third opinion is in a Braisa that just like on every Shabbos and Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, you have seven brachas in the Shmon Esrei. In the central bracha, the middle bracha, the fourth bracha is the middle bracha, contains the theme of Kedushas Hayayim. On Rosh Hashanah also we should say first three, the last three, middle three, Malchus Chonis Shofis, and we should incorporate Kedushas Hayayim in the middle bracha of the middle three, into Zechronis. What's the connection between Zechronis? Okay, Zechronis means Schar V'Yoinash. The theme of Zechronis is Schar V'Yoinash. So the theme of Rosh Hashanah is it's the Yom Adin, God is judging the whole world. Okay, so that's the opinion of, and the Braisa, yeah. That the opinion was never carried, was never observed. The Yerushalmi says that in different parts of Eretz Yisrael, in the Galil, they used to follow the practice of Rabbi Chaimenuri. They used to recite Malchus together in the middle of Atok Kadosh and Shimcha Kadosh. They had all the psukim from Malchus over there. Rav Soloveitchik would be fond of mentioning that he had an uncle whose name was Krakowski, wrote a Sefer Rambam, Avodas HaMelech. And his uncle suggests in his sefer that the meaning that we have to recite V'chein Tein Pachtecho in the middle of Atok Kadosh, where does that come from? So he thought that must be a carryover from the days of Rabbi Chaimenuri. And half of Eretz Yisrael and the Galil, they used to follow the practice of Rabbi Chaimenuri. They used to recite Malchus in the middle of Atok Kadosh and Shimcha Kadosh. So the introduction to our talk, the introduction to Malchus used to be the Chen Tein Pachtocha, the Chen Tein Kovin, and so on. He's speaking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the day will come that all of mankind will recognize Malchus Hashem. So that used to lead into the Psukim of Malchus, the theme of Malchus. Even though we don't follow Rabbi Chaim Nuri, but that piyut remained as a piyut. When I was in the rabbinate, that was the first shaila that I had on the first Rosh Hashanah. That we didn't have any shaylas till Mincha on Rosh Hashanah. So Mincha, Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Tfila finished Kedusha, and then he said, "Ladov adon agid ve'alecho," and he finished right away, "Hamelech HaKadosh," if you got to say the Chen Tein Pachtov. So everybody in the shul turned to me. But they have to say over the bracha not. So the din is you don't have to, because of the Chen Tein Pachtucha, the way we have it, is only a piyut. That's not miyakev. Those who follow Rabbi Chaim Nuri used to introduce the theme of Malchus in the middle of the bracha Tok Kadosh by saying the Chen Tein Pachtucha, the Chen Tein Kovin, and so on, and then start quoting all the psukim from the temp psukim from Malchus. So the Mishnah quotes the argument that Rabbi Akiva gave against Rabbi Chaim Nuri. Rabbi Chaim Nuri says that you incorporate Malchus into the bracha Batok Kadosh, and then the fourth and the fifth and the sixth brachas are Kedushas Hayoim, the Kaddish Yisrael, the Yom HaZikor, and then Zechronis, then Shofaris, and you blow Shofar after the middle three brachas, but you don't blow Shofar after the Malchus bracha. After Batok Kadosh, you don't blow Shofar. So Rabbi Akiva argues with the Rabbi Chaim Nuri, and he says, "If you're not blowing shofar after Malchus, lama hu masker? Why should he recite Malchus at all? It's worthless. If you're saying Malchus, you're not blowing shofar. What do you gain by saying the Malchus?" So the Gemara asks, "What kind of an argument is that? Is it din you have to recite either a din min haTorah, din min haRabban? We'll get to that soon. The din requires you have to recite Malchus. So why does he argue? What do you gain by saying Malchus if you're not going to blow shofar?" We do it all the time when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So we say Malchus on Shabbos. You don't blow Shofar on Shabbos. So what's so difficult to understand that you recite Malchus on Shofar without blowing Shofar? The Gemara, in fact, talks about a situation where a person lives in a little village, there's no Shofar and there's no Machzer. If he's going to stay home for Rosh Hashanah, he will neither be able to daven Malchus on Shofar, there's no heart, nor will he hear Tkiyah Shofar. And he can't afford to travel to the big city where they have both a Shofar and a machzen, he'll be able to have all. He can only afford to travel to one village or the other. In one village they have a shofar, but they have no machzer, so they'll be able to blow shofar. They won't be able to daven the special tefillah of Rosh Hashanah and the malchus and the shofars. Or he can travel to the other village, but they have a machzer, but they don't have a shofar, so he'll be able to hear the shliach tzibur recite the malchus and the shofar. They won't be able to hear the shofar. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that says he should go to the city where they have a shofar, and he shouldn't go to the city where they have the machzer. So the Gemara says that's obvious. Ki a shofar is min haTorah, and the whole davening the malchus kind of shofar is only with the rabbanim. So what do you need a brisa to tell you? As if they discovered America, as if it's such a big chiddush that if you have to toss up between hearing ki a shofar or hearing malchus kind of shofar, you should go for the shofar. It's pashut. So the Gemara says no. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara's explanation. The brisa is telling me a chiddush. Let's say in one village they have a machzer, but they don't have a shofar. So he knows for sure he'll hear malchus when a shofar is, and he will not have a shofar. In the other village, there's no machzer, and there may or may not be a shofar. So he may be left with nothing. So the Brisa is telling me, go to the village where there may or may not be a shofar. Because shofar is a din min haTorah, and the suffix chance of getting to hear shofar outweighs the vadai of hearing malchus when a shofar is. Malchus on Shofar is only with the Rabbanah, the Gemara says, and the Kiyah Shofar is ben Atar. So we would prefer to go to the village where there's may or may not be a Shofar, and for sure there's no Machzer, so he may or may not hear the Kiyah Shofar. That's preferable rather than to go to the village, but Hovada hear the Malchus on Shofar is, and he won't have the Shofar. So the Gemara talks about cities where there's a Machzer, you're saying Malchus on Shofar is, and there is no Shofar. What does Rabbi Akiva say? He argues with Rabbi Chaim Nuri. Rabbi Chaim Nuri says, you combine all the psukim of Malchus, they say the prayer of Malchus, together in the middle of Atta Kodesh, you combine it with Kedushas Hashem, and you don't blow shofar afterwards. So Rabbi Akiva argues, it doesn't make sense. Why does he bother saying Malchus if he's not going to blow shofar? Why not? We do it a lot of times. If you have no shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shacholias B'Shabbos, you say Malchus on the shofar. You don't blow any shofar. So what did Rabbi Akiva find is so difficult to understand? So the Gemara explains, the Gemara gives a very strange explanation. The Gemara says, no, Rabbi Kiva was arguing, why, if you're not going to blow Shofar anyway, after Malchius, according to Rabbi Menuri, that you're combining the Malchius with Atta Kodesh, in the middle of Melech HaKodesh, why do you say the 10th Pasuk? Why do you bother to say the 10th Pasuk? You should only say 9 Pasukim. What kind of a funny statement is that? Why should you only say a Pasukim? Very strange Gemara. You don't understand Pshat. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of it. So every year he would love to say over this Pshat. He would explain what Pshat in the Gemara is. He said, what is the outline of the Malchus Kohen HaShofar? You know that the Rambam listed off one in his opinion of the 13 Ikori HaAmunah. Then after the Rambam was Rabbi Yosef Albo, who wrote the Sefer HaIkarim, and he disagrees with the Rambam. He doesn't think that you have to have so many details, break it down into 13 Ikori HaAmunah. He doesn't agree with all the Ikorim of the Rambam, disagrees on one of them. And then he says, basically, there are three Ikorim of Amunah. We believe in monotheism, we believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, and we believe in Schar V'Onesh. So he says, and Rabbi Yosef Albo writes, that basically those are the three themes of Malchus, Achronos, and Shofar. Malchus, we believe that there's one God who runs the whole world. And Shofar was blown at the time of Maimon HaSinai. Shofar will be long in the future when there'll be, there was a Gilui Shechina Maimon HaSinai. In the future there will be a tremendous Gilui Shechina. So we believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. We believe in Nevuah. There can be communication. There was communication between God and man. The philosophers argue, how is that possible to have communication between an infinite being and a human being? How is it possible? Kasha Famaisa. But we believe that Nevuah took place. We believe the other way also, there's communication between man and God. When we offer prayer, God listens to the prayers. So the Yisoid of Tefillah, the Ikar of Tefillah, is really part of the Ikar of Nevuah. We believe that there can be, and there was, and there is communication between God and man. God can give Nevuah to human beings. We can pray to God and He listens to what we're saying. And then the third Ikar is Schar V'Onesh, that the Yedias Hashem, the Rama breaks it down into different Ikarim. Sefer Ikarim says it's basically one. That God knows what we're doing and He gives reward to the tzaddik and He punishes the rishon. So basically, when we daven Malchus Kohen HaShofar on Rosh Hashanah, each one of the three brachas has three parts to it. The first part of Malchus, the first part of Kohen HaShofar, is a statement of the Ikar and Emunah. We say we believe in Malchus, we believe in Kohen HaShofar, and we believe in Shofar. And then, how do you know that this is true? How do we prove anything is true in halacha or in hashkafa? You have to have a pasuk from Tanakh. So take, for example, in the Yitan Lecho, that's recited on Matzoi Shabbos, so we have a passage from the Gemara, Kalmokam shatamotzi gudulosa shalakadosh baruch hu shama tamotzi amason usay. So the Gemara says, how do you know that that's true? Davos akasa batoira, shonim barvim, umshulash baksum. If you want to prove that something is true, so you quote a pasuk, one pasuk from the Chumash, one pasuk from the Navi, one pasuk from the Ksuvim, and that's a proof. Sometimes someone can have a taina. Maybe you misunderstood the pasuk, maybe you took a pasuk out of context. So to prove that we believe in these three principles of Emunah, Malchus, Ranesh, and Shofar, so we quote three psukim from Chumash, and three psukim from Navim, and three psukim from Ksuvim. So you have nine psukim. So you've proven conclusively the point that you're driving at. The first part of each one of the three brachas is we make a statement of what the principle of faith is that we subscribe to. We believe in Malchus, we believe in Zechronis. The middle part, we quote the nine psukim, three from the Chumash, three from the Nevim, three from the Ksuvim, to prove that this is so. And then the concluding paragraph is the Bakosha. Just to explain what you need a Bakosha for, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has in his tshuvas the following kasha. Usually the framework of the davening of the Shemona Esrei is the first three brachas are shevach, and the last three brachas, the Gemara says, the Aruch Eretz dictates when you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should open your prayer with shevach, you should conclude with hoidoya, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank Him for all the kindness that He showers upon us. And in the middle, that's the main part of the davening, is the bakasha. We ask the Rebbe Shalom to take care of all of their needs. They need a parnas, they need a shidduch, they need children, they need a good health, whatever. We need Mashiach, all the things that we need. We ask in the middle. And that's really the ikar of the davening. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't need the shevach, and he doesn't need the bakasha. He doesn't need the hoidoya, but we need the bakasha. So the essence of the tefillah is really in the middle part. And the Derech Eretz dictates you have to start off with Shevach and conclude with Hodoya, but if you don't say the Bakoshes in the middle, so you haven't fulfilled Davening. So you look in the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah says him in our Torah to daven once a day, every day. And he writes, part of the Din Deraisa is that you have to face the Beis HaMikdosh. Nochach HaMikdosh, he writes as a Din Deraisa, to face Eretz Yisrael, to face the Beis HaMikdosh. And then he says that the tefillah should start off with Shevach and end off with Hodoya, and the middle should be the Bakosha. This is all the Din Deraisa. And then they added on to daven three times a day, and Musa four times a day, and Lila a fifth time a day, and a specific Nusach HaTefillah. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is bothered with the kashif. The Rambam writes that there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day, min HaTorah. And the Gemara tells us that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Chachamim were mekel, they were lenient, and they said we can leave out all the middle brachas, all the bakoshas. We don't offer any bakoshas. So we say, Ato Echor, Shimcha Echor, Ato Kidashto, whatever you say in the middle of the Shemana Esi, Yismach Chomesh, Matnas Chalko. So if you leave out the middle part, you leave out the bakoshas, so there's no tefillah. The essence of the tefillah is the bakoshes in the middle. So how is one in fulfillment on Shabbos and Yom Tov? How is on Yom Tov the mitzvah of Tzvah Deraisa, which the Rambam says is once a day, every day, to offer a tefillah, and it has to be Shevach and Hoidoy at the end in the bakosh middle? There is no bakosh. So Moshe Feinstein writes, that's a mistake, there is bakosh. The concluding paragraph in the middle brach on Shabbos and Yom Tov is always bakosh. We say, Elokeinu, Elokei Aviseinu, Ritzei B'mnuchoseinu, please accept our observance of Shabbos, Kachenu B'mitzvah Secha, sanctify us with mitzvahs, Tar L'ben L'yov D'chav V'yemes, and so on. So we leave out the Bakoshas for Gashmiyazdika things. We need a Shidduch, and the married people need children, and need a Refuah Shleima, we need good health, and we need Parnosin, we need Moshiach. We leave out all the middle Bakoshas, but you have to have a Bakosha. So the Bakosh on Shabbos and Yom Tov always is Kachenim in Tzaysecha, Seincha Kenim Tzaysecha. The same is true on Rosh Hashanah when you offer the three brachas, Malchus, Van Shoifers, for the brachas and Tzoyos. So the first section of Malchus and so on is the Yisoid and Amunah. The second section is the Hoychocha, the proof from the nine psukim in Tanakh that this Iker and Amunah is a bona fide Iker, that we really believe in that. It says, Davos HaKos Batorah, Shonim Avim Shalosh Batsuvim. Then the third part of the bracha, the concluding part, is a bakosha. Each one of those brachas ends off with a bakosha. Malchias b'nendorf alakein olkein v'seinu v'loichol kolor alam kula b'chvedach. The Kodesh Baruch should become the melech. Everyone should accept his kingdom. And zechren is yendorf alakein olkein v'seinu zechren is zikaron tov lefanecha. Roshan is the yoyim adin yam hazikaron. So he should remember us l'tovah. And then shofar is also alakein olkein v'seinu tkab b'shofar v'ad alakein v'seinu. We offer a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea behind the tenth pasuk doesn't, in Malchus it comes right after the first line, but as Zechonis and Shofers, it's in the middle of the concluding paragraph. The idea of the first nine psukim is to prove the point in Emunah. We say, Dovah Zakos HaBatorah, V'shalim Arvim, Shulash Batsuvim, we have three psukim from the Chumash, three psukim from Navi, and three psukim from the Ksuvim. But the tenth pasuk is not for the purpose of proving the point. We proved it already. We had nine psukim. Tenth pasuk is to enhance the bakosha at the end. We say, Zochenim zikaron tovah lefanecha. And then we quote a pasuk of Chumash. God, you promised us that you're going to remember us l'tovah. We are the Aman Ivcha. You promised us you're going to listen to our prayers. And in Shofar we say, Ribbono Shel'olam, you promised us in Chumash that there's going to be a Gilui Shechina. You have to fulfill your promise. And the same is true in Malchias. True, we say the 10th pasuk right after the first nine, but it's not really for the purpose of the other nine psukim. The other nine psukim are for the purpose of proving that the Iker and Emunah is correct. And the 10th pasuk is B'saras Chalemar, Shema Yisrael Hashem Alkeinu Hashem Echad. Rashi, the different ways to translate the pasuk. So Rashi translates the pasuk the way the Gemara understood. Hashem Shehu Alkeinu, God who is now only our God, the day will come, Hashem Echad, in the future he will be accepted by all of mankind. That is exactly the theme of Malchias. So we conclude, okay, we're saying, "Lechol kol ha'am kula b'chvei decha," and we already mentioned the 10th pasuk means, please fulfill the promise that you gave us in the Chumash, Hashem Shu'u Elokeinu Achshav, L'asid Lava, he will be, v'ayi ba'am hu'yeh, Hashem Echad Hashmai Echad. All of mankind will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king. So the purpose of the 10th pasuk is really to enhance the bakosha at the conclusion of each one of the three brachas of Malchias, Amaris, and Shofars. Now, so Leitchik thought that maybe that's what Rabbi Akiva is driving at. Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Chaim Nuri, and he says, you don't blow shofar after Malchus. The idea behind blowing shofar is to enhance the tefillah, to elevate the tefillah to a level of a more serious tefillah. A tefillah she'eshimo demoes, that even after the Beis HaMikdash and Zchariv, and the tefillahs are not accepted to the same extent as Bizbancha, Beis HaMikdash, HaYikayim, but tefillah she'eshimo demoes is shari demoes loyneinalu. So Rabbi Akiva argues that Rabbi Yechim Anuri holds that you don't blow shofar after Malchus because you're combining Malchus with Kedushas Hashem. So if you're not enhancing the Bakosha, so why do you bother to say the 10th Pasuk? The 10th Pasuk is different from the first 9. The first 9 Pesukim are for the purpose of proving the point in Emunah that we said in the first section of the Malchus. But the 10th Pasuk is for the purpose of enhancing the Bakosha. So if you don't enhance it by elevating the level of the tefillah by blowing the shofar, so why bother to say the 10th Pasuk? That's what the Gemara says. Emeinu tokea lomahu maskir, why does he say the 10th Pasuk? Let him only say 9 Pesukim. So there's an interesting Ramban in the Melchames on Rosh Hashanah has this interesting comment. He makes the parallel between the blowing of the shofar, the conclusion of the additional 6 brachas in the Chazaras Hashatz and the Tainis Sibur, and blowing the shofar after Malchus Karnas Shofar and the Chazaras Hashatz of Rosh Hashanah. That in both cases it's for the purpose of elevating the bakoshes, elevating to the higher level of a tefillah she'eshimo demoes. So Ramban has an interesting comment. The Tanoim had a machlokes, what is the correct form of trua? Trua is supposed to sound like a person crying. So people cry in different forms. Sometimes they cry like a trua, sometimes they cry like a shvarim, sometimes they cry like a shvarim trua. So the Tanoim had a machlokes, what is the correct form? So Rav Hai Goen was bothered with a pella. How can it be that there's a machlokes ha-Tanoim? Nobody remembers what they did last year. Everybody's a balchuv, everybody's a ger. Nobody remembers from a year ago how they blew shofar. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Rav Hai Goen came up with an idea, which was not accepted by most of the Rishonim. Rav Hai Goen came up with an idea that really all 3 forms are acceptable. Whether you blow shvarim, or you blow chua, or you blow shvarim chua, all 3 are acceptable. So why did Rebbe Bo have to make a takana that you should satisfy all the 3 different opinions? There are no 3 opinions. Everything is a valid form of crying, and all 3 are acceptable for Chua. Rabbi Goen says, no, Rabbi Bo made the takona in the city Kesarin because the Balabatim made a mistake. The Balabatim in one shul where they blew Shvarim Chua, they thought, we're the only ones who are Yotzit Kiyah Shofar, and the Balabatim in the other shul are not Yotzit because they only blow Shvarim. And those who blew Shvarim thought that the others are not Yotzit because they're Mapsik, they blow Shvarim Chua. Everybody thought the others, we're the only ones who are being Yotzit, and the other shul, they have an incorrect tradition. The truth of the matter is that all 3 were acceptable. Any form of true is acceptable. Rabbi Bo made a takana that there shouldn't be any machlokes, there should be shalom. Everybody should blow everything so nobody will be choshed that the other people were not yet. That's Rav Hai Goen's comment. His kasha is a very strong kasha. How can it be that they forgot from one year to the next how to blow shofar? Everybody forgot, nobody remembered. How can you have a machlokes hatanam? It's something you do every year. The answer that he gave doesn't really seem to fit into the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that it's a machlokes and it's a suffix, which is the correct form. All the Rishonim assume this is a machlokes. They don't accept this from Rabbi Eichmann. So it's a pella though, but the question is a very strong question. How can it be that nobody remembers what they did last year? So the Ramban comes over here and he has the following suggestion. Ramban says that on the Tainis Sibur, he drew the parallel between the Tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz on the Tainis Sibur and the Tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz on Rosh Hashanah. So he says on the Tainis Sibur, when you blow after each one of the 6 brachas, what should you blow? Should you blow Shvarim? Should you blow Chua? Should you blow Shvarim Tua? He says, there never was a machloikis. Everybody agrees to Rav Hai Goen that all 3 are acceptable. The only time there was a machlokes hatanaim was on Rosh Hashanah. Not only do you blow at the conclusion of Malchus Chanah Shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, there's a mitzvah in HaTorah. The Ramban thinks the whole Malchus Chanah Shofar is only midirabban. That's the Ramban on Chumash and Parshas and more, and the Pasuk Zichron Trua. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash writes as if Malchus Chanah Shofar is a din min HaTorah. That you have to blow shofar, you have to daven Malchus Chanah Shofar is min HaTorah, and you have to blow shofar at the conclusion of Malchus Chanah Shofar, and that's why the Gemara established that you have to blow shofar 3 times, Tkiyah, Truah, Tkiyah. Why 3 times? one at the end of Malchus, one at the end of Zichronos, one at the end of Shoifes. Ramban says, what is Rashi talking about? Rashi writes as if Malchus Chronos Shoifes is a din min haTorah, isn't it against the Gemara? We mentioned the Gemara before about the Shtei Ayaros. The fellow lives in a village with neither a Shoifer nor a Malchus. He's not going to hear the correct Nusach from Musam, and he's not going to hear Tkiyah Shoifes. And he can't afford to go to the big city where they have both the Shoifer and the Malchus. He can either go to one city or the other. So the Brisa says, let him go to the city where they're going to blow Shoifer, and not go to the city where they're going to have the Siddur, the Machzer, because the Shoifer is the Rice and the Machzer is only the Rabban. The Rabban says it's a Beferishing Gemara that the Malchus Chana Shoifer is only mid the Rabban. Rav Soloveitchik would always say over, from Rashi would appear that he doesn't agree. Rashi seems to think that Malchus Chana Shoifer is the Rice, and blowing Shoifer at the conclusion of the Brachas and the Chazaras Hashatz is also the Rice. So how does he deal with that Gemara? The Gemara said Beferish it's only the Rabbanim. So there is a commentary on Maseches Rosh Hashanah that's known as Sefer Yom Trua. It's written by one of the Sfaradish Gedolim in the 1500s, I think, or the 1600s. It's more famous, it's a little Sefer that's on Rosh Hashanah, Yom and Sukkah. It usually goes under the name Kapas Tmar. It's used more often on Maseches Sukkah, and there that section of the Sefer is called Kapas Tmar. And the section of the Sefer on Rosh Hashanah is called Sefer Yom Trua. So Sefer Yom Trua, he comes to defend Rashi. So he says the Gemara is talking about a case where you're going to say Malchus Chana Shoifes without a Shoifer. You're going to daven the treatment without a Shoifer. Then Rashi agrees that it's only Midirabban. Rashi thinks that Malchus Chana Shoifes is the Raisa if it comes in conjunction with Tkiyah Shoifer. So the Gemara is talking without a Shoifer. So then Rashi agrees. Malchus Chana Shoifes is only the Rabbanan. What's the difference with a Shoifer without a Shoifer? So Rav Soloveitchik explained it. The Sefer Yom Zikaron does it. Rav Soloveitchik explained it more. The Mishnah says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah at the beginning of the fourth parak that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow Shoifer all over the world. We only blow Shoifer in the Beis HaMikdash. Yontem Shel Rosh Hashanah Shchol is B'Shabbos B'Mikdash HaYitokin Avolov B'Amdina. You only blow Shoifer when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara wants to know why. Where is the source in the Chumash for this institution? So first the Gemara quotes from the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. And this is what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi also, and the Maseches Sofrim also. Maseches Sofrim was written in the days of the Gaonim. It's not really from the Shisha Sidra Mishnah. It was written by the Gaonim in Eretz Yisrael. So it always represents, that's how the Magen Avraham writes, it always represents the Minhagim and the Shitas of Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the Minhagim and the Shitas of Bavel. So in the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Maseches Sofrim, they give the following source for this whole institution. That in Chumash, the Yontav of Rosh Hashanah is described in different places differently. Sometimes described as Yom Trua Yelochem, sometimes described as a Zichron Trua. Yom Trua means the day on which you actually blow Shofar. Zichron Trua means the day on which you talk about Kir Shofar, Lahazkir, you mention. Like we say, Zochas Yom Shabbos Lekatcha, Zochas means Lahazkir, to mention Kedush Hashem, to recite Kiddush. That's how we know that it's a mitzvah to recite Kiddush, because it says Zachar, you shouldn't translate remember the day of Sabbath to keep it holy. You should mention the fact that Shabbos is a holy day. Zachar Yom Shabbos Likatcho, to endow the day with Kedusha, you should recite Kiddush. And the same thing, how do you know that there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah? In the Megillah Sester it says, Yimei Mishta B'Simcha M'Shlach Maras Matanas L'Riyah. It never says you have to read the Megillah. How do you know you have to read the Megillah? The Gemara says, because the pasuk is Hayamim Ha'ele, these 2 days are Purim, Meshusha Purim, Nizkarim V'Na'asim. Nizkarim does mean that they are remembered, they are spoken of. What do you mean spoken of? You read the Megillah. The word Nizkarim means Lahaskir, to mention. So the reading of the Megillah is alluded to, it doesn't say explicitly, these days are spoken of by reading of the Megillah. So here also, Zichron Trua means a day on which we talk about the Kiyas Shofar, but we don't actually blow Shofar. So this Amoira from Eretz Yisrael says, that's the source in the Chumash, that sometimes on Rosh Hashanah we actually do blow Shofar, and sometimes we just talk about the Shofar, we don't actually blow the Shofar. So he explains, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then you only talk about the Shofar, when it falls out on the weekdays, then you actually blow Shofar. So the Bavli doesn't accept this explanation, because then it does make sense, how do you know that you blow Shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara doesn't quote the whole explanation. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole explanation why should Shabbos be different from the weekdays? Why should Beis Hamikdash be different? The whole story. But the Babli rejects it, and the Babli says that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar because of Gzeirah Derabbanan. We're afraid that everyone is chayv in tkiyah shofar. Someone by mistake may carry the shofar. That's the same reason why when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, the first day Sukkot is going to fall out on Shabbos 2 weeks later. And then you're not allowed to shake the lulav. Even though the mitzvah of lulav min hatorah is only on the first day all over the world, lulav nito kol shiva, you shake the lulav all 7 days. That's only the Beis Hamikdash. But outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you only shake the lulav on the first day. So even though it's a mitzvah min hatorah to shake the lulav on the first day of Sukkot, but when the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, Achachamim prohibited us from shaking the lulav. Same thing when Purim falls out on Shabbos, they don't permit us to read the Megillah because they're afraid someone's going to forget and carry the Megillah. So the Gemara rejects this whole pshat that Zichron Shua means a day on which we talk about Tkiyah Shofar. Min HaTorah, you actually blow the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So why is it called Zichron Shua? So what does the Chumash mean when it describes Rosh Hashanah as a day? It's a Yom Tshuva, day on which you actually blow Shofar. Why is it a Zichron Shua? So some commentaries on the Gemara say that this Gzeirah Derabbanan, that you're not allowed to blow shofar when Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, was instituted during the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one who made the Gzeirah. And the Chumash is referring to Zichron Tshuva because of the Gzeirah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It wouldn't appear so in the Gemara. And the Balat Tanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes in one of his drushes that it's a Dovi Yodu. Everybody knows that the Gzeirah Derabbanan, not to blow shofar, was made in the period of the second Beis Hamikdash. He gives a whole Kabbalistic explanation why most of the Gzeiros were made during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash and they weren't necessary in earlier years. But he says it's a double pashut that the Gzeirah Derabbanan didn't exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, didn't even exist in the Beis Rishon. It was introduced in the Beis Shem. So the question is back again, why does the Chumash describe Rosh Hashanah as a day of Zichron Tshuva? What does it mean, Zichron Tshuva? So it could well be, Rav Soloveitchik suggested, it could well be that Rashi understood Zichron Tshuva means, Zichron means lahaskir, talk, to speak about something. You should offer the prayers in conjunction with the Tkiyah Shofar. You should recite the Malchus and Chonis and Shofars in connection with the Tkiyah Shofar. The Tkiyah Shofar is a form of tefillah, and the essential part of each one of the three Malchus, Chonis, Shofars is the concluding paragraph. First paragraph describes the Ikir and Amunah. We believe in Malchus, we believe in Zechronis, we believe in Shofars. The middle section is to prove that it's true with the nine psukim. But the concluding paragraph of each one of them is the Bakosha. That's the middle part of the Shemoneh Esrei. It's always supposed to be reserved for the Bakoshas. Not supposed to talk about Amunah. Yismach Moshe Matan Schelka, Nato Echav, Shimcha Echad, Nato Kidashta. That's a build up till you get to the punchline. The punchline is Alekem Kem Seinu. It's Eibim Nechaseinu. The middle part of the Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to be Bakoshas. So the concluding paragraph in each one of the three brachas in the middle is the Bakosha. And the first two paragraphs are just to lead up to that. So that's apparently, Rashi seems to have understood that once you get to the Maskana, Zichron Tshuva is not referring to the fact that when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you only talk about the Shofar, you don't blow Shofar. No, in HaTorah you blow the Shofar also. Zichron Tshuva goes on Shabbos and on the weekdays, that in conjunction with the Tkiyah Shofar, you should recite the brachas on Malchus, Chonis, and Shofars. So when the Malchus, Chonis, and Shofars is recited without a Shofar, then it's only the Rabbanah. That's the Gemara that the Rabbanah from Mishkvodah. You have the two cities, you have an option going to one city or the other. So the Gemara says, go to the city where you may or may not have the Shofar, and forgo the city where the Vada are going to have the Malchus, because the Sufik of maybe having Shofar outweighs the Vada of having the Maksa. That's because the city where they're going to have the Maksa without a Shofar, that's only going to be the Rabbanah. But when you have Malchus and Shofar is in conjunction with the Shofar, then Rashi's opinion is that's what it means, Zichron Tshuva. You should offer the prayers of Malchus and Shofar, the Bakoshas, the concluding paragraph is the main part of the Brachas and Tzoyas. You should offer those Bakoshas in conjunction with the Tkiyah Shofar to enhance the Tefillah. This was the shiur that Rav Soloveitchik was fond of explaining.
Which is enhancing the shofar or the
tefillah? The shofar elevates the level of the bakasha to a higher level, but min haTorah you can have the shofar even without the bakasha. So again, so the Ramban explains like this. Ramban coming to answer the kasha of the Rav Haigon, How can it be that they forgot what's the correct form of trua? No one remembered what they blew last year. So he said, because on a tiny Siba day, it was optional. You can blow either Shvarim or Trua, or Shvarim Trua. And on Rosh Hashanah, in the middle of Zeres HaShatz also, the purpose of that tkiyas, the purpose of those tkiyas are to elevate the level of the tefillah to the level of the tefillah sheyeshim or demoyas. So in the middle of Zeres HaShatz also, any one of the three would be acceptable. Either the Shvarim or the Trua, or the Shvarim Trua. And in fact, that was what the Rif quotes from the Gaonim, the Minig B'shtei Yeshivas, the two yeshivas in Bovel, which were carried over traditions from the days of the Amoraim, so they would blow after Malchias Tashrat, after Zecharias they would blow Tashat, Tkiyah Shvarim Tkiyah, and after Shofars they would blow Tarat, Tkiyah Chua Tkiyah. So the Gaonim ask, it doesn't make any sense. Why do we do that? For sure we're not Yotze the Mitzvah. There's a suffix, what's the correct form of Tkiyah? Is it supposed to be Tkiyah Shvarim Chua Tkiyah? Or is it supposed to be Tkiyah Shvarim Tkiyah? Or is it supposed to be Tkiyah Chua Tkiyah? So whatever it's supposed to be, you're supposed to blow that after Malchias, after Zechonis, after Shofars. So be sure we did it wrong. If you blow only Tashrat once after Malchias, and Tashat once after Zechonis, and Tarat once after Shofars, so be sure you did it wrong. Two of them were wrong, only one of them is right. So why do we blow like that? Rav Haigoyen gives his explanation. No, all three are acceptable. The only reason why Rav Abba made a takon is that the Balabatim shouldn't fight with each other. Balabatim shouldn't think that we're the only ones that were Yotze. The others were also Yotze. But basically, since we were Yotze, we think before we start davening Musaf, so in the middle of Musaf, we vary. So we blow Tashrat after Malchias and Tashrat after Zechonis and so on. But most of the Rishonim rejected that. They say, no, the Gemara says it's a real Machlokes HaTanaim. So the Ramban says the Machlokes HaTanaim is regarding the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. What's the correct form of Tkiyah? Should it be Shvarim? Should it be Trua? Should it be Shvarim Trua? But the Tkiyahs in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, everybody agrees with the Rav Haigoyen. And at Tainus Siba, everybody agrees with the Rav Haigoyen that all three are acceptable. So the people forgot from year to year, they remember we blew everything. Yeah, in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, they blew everything. But the question is, the chiyuv shofar deraisa, not the Ramban holds that blowing in the middle of Malchus Chana Shofar is only the Rabban, because he holds that all Malchus Chana Shofar is only with the Rabban. According to Rashi, it appears that blowing after Malchus Chana Shofar is deraisa. The Ramban says, for the purpose of blowing al Seder Abrachas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, all three forms are acceptable. And everybody remembered that in past years they blew all the three forms. And that's taka correct. In the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, you can blow all the three forms. But what was a Machlekes HaTanaim was, what's the correct form for leaving out Malchus Chana Shofar? What's the correct form to fulfill the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, which exists as an independent mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah? So that was the Machlekes, is the correct form Shvarim, the correct form is Trua, or the correct form is Shvarim Trua.
May I ask a question?
Bakasha.
I thought maybe if you could elaborate, maybe on a hashkafic level, the relationship between the shofar and the brachot. Why do we need, how do they interact with each other? What role is one playing that the other one doesn't fulfill?
Yeah, that's what I started with. I explained that the blowing of the shofar is supposed to sound like crying, and if a person davens after the days of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the prayers are not accepted to the same extent as Zvanah Beis HaMikdash Kayam. But if it's a tefillah that contained with it the mois, it's such a sincere tefillah. Some people can just turn on the faucet and start crying in the middle of Shema Nesrei. People who cry when they say Azel Mekayma. There's nothing to cry about when they say Azel Mekayma. And Yiddish folklore, they tell about the person who was crying when they said Azel Mekayma. So someone asked him, what are you crying about? What is it a cry about? Now he's crying about the Purim on Nisrafim. He thought that they burnt the cows while they were alive. They didn't burn them. They burnt them on the Mizbech after they were Gishachim. They didn't burn them alive. So there's some people going to turn on the faucet and start crying apropos to nothing. But if a person is so moved by the davening that he's led to tears, that's a higher level of tefillah. So we blow the shofar at the conclusion of each one of these three brachas to enhance the level of the tefillah, to elevate it to the level of tefillah, sheyeshim ademois, that we stand a better chance of having the tefillah accepted.
So the brachot are for the people who don't have, who are not capable of the crying of the higher level of tefillah? Is the brachot the articulation that they may
the articulation
not
of a tefillah. Each one of Malchus Chana Shofar is the concluding paragraph contains a bakasha. because the middle brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei are all supposed to be by kashya.
Right, but the essence is the shofar. So I'm just trying to understand how
the shofar is a form of prayer. According to the Ramban, the whole Machzor Dan Shofar is only midrabban. So the shofar is a form of prayer without any words. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of all of our needs, whatever they happen to be. We can't even spell them out. And midrabbanan, they spell them out. We spell out Machzor Dan Shofar is the three. According to Rashi, everything is menatur. The Machzor Dan Shofar is menatur, and the Tkiyas Al Seira Brachas is menatur. And where is the Bakasha? The concluding paragraph of each one of these three brachas, the Malchus, the Sepanus, and the Shofars, contains the Bakasha. It contains the Bakasha. Usually, all year long, the brachas and tzoyas of the Shemoneh Esrei have personal Bakashas. For refuah, and for parnasa, and for shiduchim, or whatever, whatever everybody wants, to having children. Everything should go well. So usually it's personal bakoshes. Kabbalim, some of the Kabbalim write on Rosh Hashanah, it's not proper to ask for personal bakoshes. Only ask for the needs that HaKadosh Baruch has. Melocha kol holam kula b'chvedecha, that's not our need. We can use it also, but it's a need of HaKadosh Baruch. If the whole world will accept Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it'll be a better world to live in. Okay, it's our need also, but it's basically his need. And then Tkabishai for God Lachevisenu, he promised he's going to bring a Gulu Hasidim. So I need also, so Mekubalim, the Ramchal writes like this, has a special essay on davening on Rosh Hashanah. He quotes Kabbalah sources that it's not proper to incorporate Bakoshes on Rosh Hashanah for personal tzorach. That's not the common practice. Most people are not into Kabbalah. Most people on Rosh Hashanah do add personal Bakoshes. Whatever issues, whatever problems they have, they do add bakashas. But we assume the essence of the middle brachas on Rosh Hashanah is the same as all year long. Middle brachas and tzoyas are bakashas, and that's the concluding paragraph. Each one of the three brachas in the middle has a concluding paragraph. So to elevate the level of that bakasha, we blow the shofar at the end. I wanted to speak a little bit about a topic that's not too well. How late are the people staying?
15-20 minutes.
Okay, so I'll speak briefly. Okay, there is an Indian. Yesterday we were talking about it on the bus to Washington. There is an Indian in Mosifa Mechol Al HaKodesh that you're supposed to add on a little bit before Shabbos and a little bit after Shabbos. The Gemara learns it out from Sukkim. Different opinions in the Tanakh, which pasuk it's learned out from. The Rambam's opinion is that it's learned out from the pasuk that says by Yom Kippur. So the pasuk b'shat in the Chumash Pshuto Shal Mikra is the night following the ninth of Tishrei is Leil Yom Kippur. So you start fasting on Leil Yom Kippur. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that it does mean the night following the ninth of Tishrei. It means late in the afternoon of the ninth of Tishrei, you should start fasting on Erev Yom Kippur to be Mosi Mechol Al HaKodesh. And once you say this, Tosefes Yom Kippur before, so it's understood Tosefes Yom Kippur after as well. So the Rambam's opinion is that that is the source for the institution of Mosif and Mechol Al HaKodesh, and he only quotes it with respect to Yom Kippur. He doesn't quote it at all with respect to Shabbos or with respect to Yontif, only applies to Yom Kippur. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch does not pass like that. The Rambam is really against our Gemara. It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tesem and Aleph. All the sources in the Gemara assume that it applies equally to Shabbos and Yom Tov and to Yom Kippur. So that's the generally accepted opinion. Tosfos in Beitza, Daf Lamed and Aleph, shows from the Gemara there, that's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person is doing something wrong and you know they're not going to listen to you if you give them tochacha, so leave them alone. Mutam shiyushogigim v'lo yuhu mezidim. If I'm going to tell them that they're doing wrong and I know they're going to continue doing it anyway, so I'll make the situation worse. Right now they're doing an aver b'shogig. I'm going to give them tochacha and they're not going to listen, so they'll be doing the aver b'mezid. So better is leave them alone. Let them continue to do the aver b'shogig. So the Gemara says that there were people used to eat during this man of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. And there was no way we could explain to them, we're not going to get them, we will not succeed in convincing them that they should stop eating during this man of Tosefes, so leave them alone. So they won't fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So Tosefes asks, what do you mean? They're eating into Bein Hashmashes. Bein Hashmashes is Safik Yom, Safik Laila. How can we allow them to eat? They're not going to eat. That's not Tosefes, that's Bein HaShemashes. The Tosefes says, everyone's going to stop eating before Bein HaShemashes. So that is Tosefes. You add on a minute before Yom Kippur, you add on a minute before Shabbos. That is Tosefes. The Tosefes says, from the Gemara would appear that there's a minimum amount of time that you have to add on before Shabbos begins for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tosefes. But the Tosefes doesn't know how much time it is. They say, from the Gemara it appears that there's a set, a fixed amount of time. They don't know what it is. So there's a sefer called Maimon Mordechai. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Maimon Mordechai on every other page. Maimon Mordechai was a sefer written by a Sephardish Rav, big Talmid Chacham in France, in the 1800s. I don't know how the Mishnah Berurah got a copy of it. It's printed in France. He lived in Poland. I'm very surprised that he had a copy of the sefer just a few years before he wrote the Mishnah Berurah. This sefer is a knockout sefer on every sif in Shulchan Aruch. He discusses all the different opinions and he explains everything beautifully. The Maimon Mordechai, several volumes. So the Maimon Mordechai on that siman in Shulchan Aruch, when it says you should be Mosef Minchol al HaKodesh, Shulchan Aruch does not accept the Rambam's opinion that Tosefes only applies to Yom Kippur. Shulchan Aruch writes that it should apply to every Shabbos and every Yontif. So the Maimon Mordechai quotes from the Tosefes Rabbeinu Peretz. That's one of the original sets of the Balei Tosefes. Our Tosefes are usually a kitzer. Of either the Taisus Shans or the Taisus Rabbeinu Peretz or the Taisus Tuch. There's always some other set, Taisus Arosh. There's always another set of Taisus that's more elaborate than the Taisus that we have printed on the page. So this Maimon Mordechai quotes from the Taisus Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitz Adaf Laman Amad Aleph that he thinks that the Tosefes Shabbos should be 30 minutes, half an hour. Where does he get this idea? He doesn't explain. But in the yeshivas, they assume that whenever there's a din in the Gemara that depends on samuch, like the Gemara says, one should not start eating samuch le mincha if he didn't have a mincha yet. He shouldn't eat an elaborate meal. So samuch always means a half an hour before. You have different Gemaras, but the word samuch always means a half an hour. So the Rabbeinu Peretz obviously was of the opinion that samuch le Shabbos, you should be mekabel tosefes Shabbos. Samuch means a half an hour before. The word samuch doesn't appear in Chumash. We learn from the Psukim you should be Moshe Mechol al HaKadosh, but the Rabbeinu Peretz thinks that it should be a half an hour before. So Rav Soloveitchik said that where he came from in Europe, the practice used to be that the women would ben shlich all year long 30 minutes before Shkia on Shabbos and on Yontif, and in Erev they would make Kabbal Tosef for Shabbos 30 minutes based on this Rabbeinu Peretz. And on Erev Yom Kippur they used to ben shlich and Mekabel Yom Kippur 60 minutes before, an hour before the Shkia, because Shkia is already Bein HaShemashes, so the Tosefes would be twice the amount as all year long. So he said he remembers as a child he was bothered with the question, why is Yom Kippur different? Why are they Mekabel Tosefes 60 minutes before? So he says the official explanation that they gave was that you have to have 30 minutes Tosefes for Malocha and 30 minutes Tosefes for Inuyim. The Chamish Inuyim. So he says he never understood what that means. It's one Kedusha Soyam, that's Mechayev and Inuyim, and Mechayev and Malocha. So why shouldn't it be sufficient with one unit of 30 minutes before? The common practice today is that the women do not bench licht 30 minutes before. They certainly don't bench licht an hour before the Shkia on Erev Yom Kippur. Everybody waits till much later, and they usually do it 18 minutes before. Where does the 18 minutes come from? So that's when the Sefer Yireim was written by Blazer Mimitz, a student of Rabbeinu Tam, one of the Balei HaTosefes. So the Sefer Yireim is of the opinion that what we call Shkia is Tzeis HaKochavim, that's Laila. And Bein HaShemashes is the last 18 minutes before the Shkia. That's not the accepted opinion. We assume that up until the Shkia is Yom, and after the Shkia begins Bein HaShemashes for 25 minutes, 35 minutes or so, and then you have Tzeis HaKochavim later. So this Rav Lezer Mimitz is of the opinion that what we call Shkia is Laila already. And Bein HaShemashes is the last 18 minutes in the day. So if that's Bein HaShemashes, so it's a Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila, so you're not allowed to do Malachas. So the women would bench licht before the 18 minutes. Some of the women misunderstand it. They think you should bench licht in the middle of the 18 minutes. No, it's supposed to finish doing all the Malachas before the 18 minutes. That's the Chumra of Rav Lezer Mimitz, that the last 18 minutes before Shkia is considered the Bein HaShemashes period. But you should keep in mind that the inyan of Tosefes Shabbos, Mosif and Mechol al HaKodesh, there were Nashim Tzidkanias and there were Nashim Tzadikim also, not only Nashim Tzidkanias, but the Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos 30 minutes before the Shkia, And on Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench lecht be mekabel tosefes Yom Kippur 60 minutes before. I want to wish everybody a ksiva v'chseima toiva. Have a successful year. I think the learning will probably be enhanced by being exposed to more rabbonim from the yeshiva. How about tzlocha? Okay.
Maybe can they add? Do they have any other questions?
Bak Hashem, I have time.
So the 18 minutes is still very limited question. So I had always heard that, like you said, I had heard that 18 minutes is sort of like it's a good thing to do, but if you need to, like later, you're allowed to. Is that the case?
That's a chumrah from Ablaza Mimitz, Eifirim, that we machmet to treat 18 minutes as if it's Ben Hashmashes. But we all know that that's not the accepted opinion. Ben Hashmashes doesn't begin till after the Shkia.
Okay. So,
but more correct would be to daven mincha before, and then to bench licht after one daven's mincha, because once you bench licht, Ashkenazic psak is that once a yochid is mekabel tosefes Shabbos, you're not allowed to daven tefilas chol. Sfardim only say once the tzibur is mekabel Shabbos, you can't daven tefilas chol. Chacham Avadia, it's for the Sfardim like that. But Ashkenazim psak in Shulchan Aruch is that once the woman is mekabel tosefes Shabbos, you can't daven tefilas chol. So she has to daven mincha before she benches licht. So more correct is to daven mincha 45 minutes before the shkia, then to bench there 30 minutes before the shkia, and to abstain from halacha 30 minutes before, for the men and for the women. The men don't do it. Men usually come to shul, they daven mincha, they finish just barely before the shkia, and then the chazan says the chazaras hashatz way into the shkia after. So there's no tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes is supposed to be before Ben Hashmashes, and at the shkia begins the Ben Hashmashes. So the Gdelim in Europe complained about it, they wrote about it, and nobody did anything. It's still the same. There was no movement on it. Still everybody doing the same thing. 18 minutes is a chumrah. Right? We act as if Ben Hashmashes begins 18 minutes before the Shkia. That is correct.
I'm still working on this idea of what the shofar is. So the Gemara in Brachos talks about that Chana's tefillah is the basis for the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah because of the nine times it mentions Shem Hashem. And then the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Beis, talks about, you know, what is this tefillah? It's Yavava, based on the mother of sister, right? So the Gemara makes the connection because it wants to find the source of how many brachot there are in Musaf, right? But at the same time, the way Rashi defines a Yevava on Rosh Hashanah, in Rosh Hashanah, in terms of this type of this cry of the Chola, or, you know, this salvation, is there a connection between the tefillah of Chana in terms of her tefillah of salvation and the whole question of Eli in terms of the description of how she, the peculiar way it was for her to daven, is there a Yevava connection?
She was crying a heart out. She was crying when she was daven. She had no children, and the other wife had many children.
Right, but the Gemara is only mitakim because of the fact of, she said, Shem Hashem.
The Gemara learns that there exists a prayer with nine units. That's what we learn from above. We don't blow shofar after each one of the nine units. We don't blow shofar after the three. Because the first three and the last three, there's no bakasha. And the purpose of the shofar is to combine together with the bakasha to elevate the level of the tefillah. So the brachas and tzoyas are those that have the bakasha.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
How about